Chapter 4, Section 2. Has God said? When God created man, he didn't just place him on earth and walk away. The Bible says that God visited Adam and Eve in the garden, and in the offhand way it's mentioned, one can assume that this was a regular event. On a number of occasions, the Scripture speaks of God taking on the form of a human to show himself to man. This was obviously one of those times. Adam and Eve were on intimate terms with their Creator owner, and God took care of their every need. But then, Satan slinked into the garden. He did not arrive with a blast of trumpets, announcing who he was and what he was about. Satan is much too subtle for that. The Bible tells us that Satan is the great deceiver, the devil. He is incapable of telling uncorrupted truth.
The devil was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. John 8:44.
The word lie in the original Greek text is pseudos, a conscious and intentional falsehood. We use the word ourselves. It implies imitation. Several years ago, I was reading an article on Satan in a popular news magazine. He was illustrated as having a red body with horns on his head, a pointed tail, and carrying a pitchfork. The overall rendering was hideous. According to the Bible, that picture is deceptive to the extreme. The Bible says that
Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11:14.
He comes in all his eye-catching splendor, mimicking God as closely as he can. A better picture of Satan might have been an attractive young man in a black suit with a clerical collar. Satan loves religion. He closely imitates the truth. But he cannot be trusted, because by his very nature he is an impostor, a counterfeit, a teller of deliberate falsehoods. I am sure Satan was quite happy with the red suit, pitchfork in hand drawing. It's easier to deceive people if they're looking the wrong direction for the wrong thing. He would also have been pleased with other statements in the magazine. Quote, "Theologians have all but scratched Old Scratch," unquote. Old Scratch is an idiom used for the devil. It has no biblical connections. But the implication of the article was that no one believes in Satan anymore. What better way to deceive than for the devil to have theologians telling people that he himself is a myth? You can almost hear him chuckle. So, Satan arrived in the Garden of Eden with all the subtlety he could muster. No trumpets, no fanfare. He came in the embodiment of a snake, a reptile that is often identified with the devil. The Bible records several incidents of evil spirits living inside both humans and animals, speaking through them or causing them to act abnormally. So this occurrence is not out of place. On this occasion, Satan spoke through the reptile. He addressed Eve.
Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" Genesis 3:1.
The fact that a snake could speak did not seem to disturb Eve. No doubt every day she discovered a new and fascinating part of God's creation. Perhaps she thought that this was just another one of those new creatures. We don't really know. Whatever the case, it is interesting that Satan approached Eve with a question about God. He planted something in her mind that she had never considered. The creature can question the Creator. The question came in a slightly condescending tone. Did God really say? I mean, really? Did God really say that? With his "you've got to be kidding" approach, Satan implied that man was rather simple-minded or naive to accept God's word at face value. Perhaps God is holding back something good from you. I mean, how do you know? Maybe God isn't as good and loving as he makes himself out to be. There was a hint that God wasn't being completely honest, not entirely forthright. Satan passed himself off as being concerned for man, looking out for man's best interests. The devil counterfeited God's goodness. His twisted logic questioned God's word, and in questioning, he planted doubt. In addition, Satan grossly overstated God's prohibition. God had not forbidden eating from every tree. He had only mentioned one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But the overstatement produced the desired reaction.
The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, 'You must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die.'" Genesis 3:2-3.
Eve tried to defend God, even though God does not need to be defended. In her zeal, she added to God's command. God had told man that he should not eat of the tree, but he had never said they could not touch it. When you add to God's word, you always take away something from it. Eve made God out to be more demanding than he really was, and in the process, marred God's character. Getting people to add or subtract from the Bible is the sort of math Satan specializes in. The devil loves the resulting confusion. The addition was oh so little, but it was all that Satan needed. A crack had appeared in the dike.
"You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman. "For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Genesis 3:4-5.
Not content with questioning God's word, Satan outright denied it. He blatantly called God a liar. He suggested that God did not want Adam and Eve eating from the tree because God feared that they would learn too much. Cleverly, he mixed truth with error. It was true that their eyes would be opened and that they would know good and evil, but it was false to imply that they would be like God with all his attributes. It was also erroneous to state that they would not die.
When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Genesis 3:6.
She ate, they ate. Over the years, some have blamed the woman for this outright disobedience against God's command. But it should be noted that throughout Eve's entire conversation with Satan, that Adam, her husband, was with her. Adam was just as guilty as Eve. He could have prevented his wife from eating the fruit, and certainly did not have to eat the fruit himself. But they both ate. Their disregard for God's command brought immediate consequences.
Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Genesis 3:7-8.
Satan had succeeded. You can almost hear his howl of laughter echoing through the garden. As usual, Satan did not hang around to help pick up the pieces. He never does. The Bible says,
"The devil prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." 1 Peter 5:8.
Satan leaves the bones picked clean. He may come across as a great provider, providing pleasure, fun, a good time, but it's only temporary, and often very empty. In reality, Satan never gives. If he imparts anything, it's only gut-wrenching heartache. He's a malicious playmate, a cruel companion. The friendship with God was broken. To illustrate, I'll use a threesome. A young lady, Addie, who represents Adam and Eve. A young man, Theo, who represents God. And Slick, who is Satan. Addie and Theo are a young couple in love, engaged to be married. They are enjoying their engagement when one day Slick shows up. He's a smooth talker, and in private he whispers to Addie some fabrications about Theo. Addie believes the lies and takes to hanging out with Slick. To make matters worse, she perpetuates the same untruths to justify her behavior. Sorrowfully, Theo breaks the engagement. That was just the way it was between God and man. Satan had told Adam and Eve lies. They had all the reasons in the world to tell Satan that he was the liar, but instead they chose to believe him, in effect joining the devil's rebellious ranks and calling God a liar. Addie had eloped with Slick. In the same way, man had become an enemy of God. The Bible says,
"Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God." James 4:4.
The world's value system is influenced and controlled by Satan. When you become a friend of the world, you become an enemy of God. That's the natural outcome of choosing sides. Adam and Eve had believed Satan instead of God.
"For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. Therefore God gave them the sinful desires of their hearts. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served created things, Satan, rather than the Creator, who is forever praised." Romans 1:21 and 22, 24a and 25.
The Bible called Adam and Eve's disobedience sin. Their defiant choice to follow Satan's lies opened a vast gulf in the relationship between God and man. Adam and Eve must have sensed immediately that something was wrong. They were devastated. They had a feeling they had never experienced before, a very uncomfortable one called guilt. The Bible says they were afraid, and for the first time, they realized they were naked, casting their eyes around for a solution.
"They sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves." Genesis 3:7.
Perhaps they thought that if they fixed up their outside appearance, God would never notice that things had changed on the inside. They would just gloss things over and pretend that everything was okay. It was man's first attempt to make things right in a world gone wrong. There was only one problem with the fig leaf solution. It didn't work. The condemnation remained. Having a good outward appearance did not remedy the inner reality. Feelings of guilt continued to churn within. The gulf was still there. So when Adam and Eve heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden, they hid from the presence of the Lord. Only guilty people run and hide. You don't hide from a friend. A barrier, a chasm, now existed in God's and man's relationship. Some may say, "But the sin was over such a little thing, just a bite of fruit." True. God had not put a big stumbling block in man's path. Indeed, it was no stumbling block at all. There were dozens of trees from which Adam and Eve could have freely eaten. This was the smallest of possible tests, but it defined man as being human, as having a free will. Suppose you met someone that seemed to be the nicest person on the earth. They showed real love for you, going out of their way to do special things for you, comforting you when you hurt, laughing at your jokes, telling you they loved you. Then you found out they had no choice, that they were programmed to be loving. Well, it would be a terrible disappointment. It would all seem so artificial, so meaningless, so empty. And it would be. Man was given a choice, a simple one, which was very easy to keep, but this one choice made a huge difference. Having this choice, to eat or not to eat, to obey or disobey, to love or not to love, defined man as a human. One writer, in addressing this issue of choice, expressed it this way:
"What a gift of amazing grace that the one who made me allows me to deny his existence. God created me with the power to disobey, for the freedom to obey would be nothing at all without the freedom to disobey."
Man was not a robot. Man was able to love by his own free choice. Adam and Eve's love for each other was real, not artificial. And their initial obedience and love for God was genuine as well. Although the test itself may have seemed a small concern, to disobey God in even the smallest of matters is serious. The Bible says that God is holy and cannot tolerate even the least of sins. It states explicitly that to disobey is wrong. It is sin.